Hi everyone, I'm Riley.
And I'm Athena.
And today we will be talking about finance as a career path. We get to hear from Brennan Bowen and Jennifer Swindler, two professionals in varying fields of finance, about their journeys in the industry. If you're interested in a career in finance, you do not want to miss this first episode of our two-part series, where we provide you with vital knowledge on all things financial career success and personal finance. Welcome back to Hey You.
Brennan and Jen, we are so excited to have you here with us today. Please introduce yourselves to the audience and tell them a little bit about what your current role is.
My name is Jen Swindler, and I'm currently a wealth manager, which is really the same thing as a financial planner or financial advisor. And I'm a CFP, or certified financial planner, and an accredited financial counselor. And I've done my undergraduate and graduate degree in personal financial planning. I've been working in the industry for a little over 5 years now, and just started in my first full-fledged advisor role about a year and a half ago.
I work at PROFI, stands for the Professional Financial Company. We do financial planning the right way. Is that what I like to say? To really break that down though, a lot of people out there will say they're financial planners, and there is a wide variety of what financial planning can be considered. But to put it in simple terms, I want to be in front of my clients every financial decision, whether that's going to be buying a new car, buying a home, investing in the stock market, investing in private equity, real estate, whatever financial decision they've got that's going to have medium to high impact, I really want to be in front of it to be able to help them and make a good decision. The name of my current role is Executive Vice President. I was employee number one of the firm when I started. And actually just this year, I bought in as an owner as well. And that was ultimately my goal when I started.
Can you tell us a bit more about your experience in the industry so far and how you've gotten to where you are today?
Yeah, so I took a very surprising path over to this, I guess, where I was actually getting a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree and doing a lot of graphic design freelance work and trying to do some, you know, illustration work and stuff on the side, and was married at the time, and the person I was married to just had a lot of debt and kind of financial complications into the relationship. And so throughout just trying to figure out, basically I grew up in a household that was very debt averse, and so it was something that I had a lot of motivation to do something about and make a plan for and try to figure out how do you tackle this, like what are the options for getting out of debt and budgeting and figuring out all of these things and how to manage that. And so it was really throughout that relationship that I became really fascinated by the process of doing this planning and checking in consistently on our situation and trying to figure out how to make the most progress as quickly as possible. And ultimately that relationship didn't work out, and money was a huge part of that, which is true for, you know, a lot of marriages that don't work out. And as it didn't work out, and I had definitely relied on the consistent income of my partner, where mine was fluctuating a lot with the design work that I was doing, basically I just decided after the marriage ended that I wanted to get something that was more consistent, and I had found that interest in personal finance and then realized that Utah Valley University had the same, like, personal financial planning program that, I guess not the same program, but, you know, they offered that program, and then I decided to switch into that and basically was like a semester away from graduating with my Bachelor of Fine Arts and then switched to financial planning. So it was a pretty big shift over.
Fidelity, I would say, is the first true finance company I worked for. I worked as like a warehouse manager at a warehouse for emergency essentials. They were a food storage company, no longer in business actually. I did accounting for them. I also worked at Nu Skin in their international tax department, because I did get two undergrads. One was in accounting, and then I realized with three classes left that I was not an accountant, and realized, oh crap, I have to go get a different degree. So I ended up just getting two, but that's where I did some internships and New Skin was an internship and realized, oh man, I do not like this. And really from Fidelity, I learned, oh my gosh, there are so many things that you can do, even just at a company of that size, right? I think at the time they had 40,000 employees. And I think they're close to 50,000 employees now worldwide. And most of them are here in the US. And in fact, the Gateway Mall is where they've got like 1,300 of their employees. And that learning experience of going, oh my gosh, I thought there was one way to do something, and there's a billion ways to do what I do. And so that's what started me really wanting to learn what is the way I want to do it, which is really what I like about finance the most, is you can really choose how you want to do it and when you want to do it.
There are many avenues a finance graduate can take after college, two of which being corporate and financial planning. Please explain both and what differences exist between the two.
Yeah, and for me, it was pretty clear just because I had known it was the budgeting and the debt management and the investments, looking into those things, that I felt like this is really interesting to me. I like working. I want to help people improve their financial situations. And that's really more what the financial planning side is focusing on individuals and their goals. And sometimes people do planning for a business, but it's a lot more common that you're doing it for people. And then the corporate finance side is going to be a lot more analysis. You're going to be looking at maybe financial modeling and projecting, and you're a lot more into kind of the statements, and maybe even depending on the company you're working for, maybe it's, you know, stock analytics and things like that. But it's going to be usually not as much working with people as it is working with like numbers and spreadsheets.
Thank you for explaining the differences between these two avenues. Can you touch upon specific aspects of the finance world that people may want to be aware of before picking it as a career path?
I think one of the things they've got to be aware of is if you don't want to learn continually, you may not want a career at all, like anywhere. But I feel like finance in particular, there are always new laws passed, like the COVID laws that were passed. Wow, it was incredible how many things changed. And I'm still learning what that changed. And now they're talking about passing even more laws that changed what changed. And we're only 3 years down the road, not even quite 3 years down the road. And so to stay up on top of that is a lot. Having said that, you don't always, like depending on where you want to work, you don't always have to stay up on top of it. So like a Fidelity Investments, huge company, they're going to stay on top of it mostly for you. So that's probably something to know going into it. And then there's just so much in finance overall. Really explore before you graduate.
How can networking be beneficial when it comes to the finance industry specifically, and how have you used it in your own career?
Networking, it's key because ultimately if you're going to manage anybody's money, whether that's a company or a person, it's all about trust. They want to trust that you're doing the best thing for them. Nobody ever wants to hear that you are Bernie Madoff, right? Stole whole, like just billions and billions of dollars. And that is what networking is. It's building relationships of trust. And so without that relationship of trust, nobody's going to say, oh yeah, here, take this $10 million and invest it for me. Because you could pull Bernie Madoff and just run off with it. And there's been plenty of people that have done it and will do it. Networking is what made it so that I could actually leave Fidelity and not take like a huge pay cut. If I hadn't realized during my college career that, oh, these professors I'm meeting and these students I'm meeting, I need to not just like know who they are, but I need to get to know what they want and how I can help them. Because when you can do that, then you can really create a successful network. And when you're adding value, people normally want to reciprocate. You will find those people that they're not, you know, fountains. They're more just holes in the ground that want to suck everything in that they can. But for the most part, I feel like people are good and they want to help you if you've helped them. And so I was on a competition team. We went to the FPA conference in Seattle, Washington, and we presented a financial plan. There was a quiz bowl. I think we wrote like a 75-page paper on our analysis. And it was a group of three of us, and one of those other students is the reason why I am where I'm at today. I called him up when I left Fidelity, and he said, hey, here you go. Here's a person to talk with. And then I left that firm after Fidelity 3 years later, because that wasn't working out, and called him up again, said, hey, who else do you know? And he said, oh yeah, here's another guy. And now it's where I'm at today. So we still talk constantly, and I've gotten to the point where I've kind of had to organize, not necessarily organize my network, but organize like how often am I contacting people, because I don't want to let it fall out of just contact with them. Otherwise, it's not quite a network if you've fallen out of contact a ton.
Networking can be pretty nerve-wracking and doesn't always come naturally to students. What is some advice you have for those who are looking to start the networking process?
I would say the first thing is recognize you've already begun it. The students and professors and just other people in your life, even family, friends, family members, they are part of your network. And I would say the next step would be try to recognize what are the good people to have in your network. That can be a really hard thing to do because ultimately you don't know. And so you just need to be kind and gracious to everyone, even if they're jerks. But it's just super important to be thinking about keeping those connections that you feel are going to be valuable. And once again, being gracious to those, even if you think they're not going to be valuable. Because if you do end up going to a big company, you never know who's going to be your boss next.
Another helpful tool for students that can be beneficial is mentor seeking. Can you touch on that and the significant role it can play in one's career journey?
I would say it's critical. My mentors, once again, are the reason why I'm here. And in fact, so one mentor that actually helped me get the job at Fidelity, what was so interesting to me is it's kind of come full circle to where I really tried to add value. He was a professor. He already had his PhD. He had all this stuff. And I was just this lowly student trying to figure out if they want to do accounting or personal finance. And he, one, helped me see, okay, accounting's not for you, go to personal finance, then land a job and continue to learn during that job of what I wanted, what I didn't want. But now he has come to me and said, hey, I'm actually done being a professor. Do you want to work together? It's been like, oh, wow, okay, great. And which is awesome because he's got a network that I don't have. I've got some of his network and he has some of mine. And there's always that overlap when you know someone. But I've actually got a meeting tomorrow to try and set up a business relationship with him. And it's already paid dividends for both of us to have each other as mentors and peers. But to get those mentors, once again, you have to add value. As a student, I really couldn't add a ton of value, but it was, hey, how can I help? And if he said, oh yeah, I actually wanted to organize this for the class, I'm in, right? And if he said, oh, you know, we're actually looking for someone to go to this conference or something, oh, I'm in. You know, I will write whatever paper you want. I will do whatever you want to try and add value. And people really just appreciate that. And it's, you don't even have to formally go to them and ask, will you be my mentor? I didn't with this guy. But then eventually I just started calling him my mentor.
For students who are beginning to navigate where they may fit in this industry, or for people who are just starting to interview soon, what advice do you have?
Now, the thing that I was thinking about and something that I've seen with friends and people who were in my undergraduate program with me, this industry is in some ways a really traditional industry, and it's one that I think is starting to be more progressive and starting to break out into a lot of different types of firms, and there's a lot of different types of jobs out there now. And I definitely walked away from my first internship very discouraged and feeling like, you know, this isn't what I thought it would be. I am just doing a ton of paperwork for like six men in their 50s and feeling like, you know, I don't see the dots connecting in my head of like what I pictured I would be doing as an advisor compared to what I'm doing now. And I think it's something that over time, as I've shifted into other firms, I've found that there are definitely places that are going to be a totally different atmosphere. There are going to be places that you get to show up as yourself in a really authentic way, and you get to work with clients that like who you are as a person and you like who the clients are as well. And I think that's something to be aware of, that a lot of the time the first internship or the first job you have, and in any industry, including this one, that it might not truly be reflective of what you'll see if you push forward a little bit longer. And I think that this industry just still has a little bit of catching up to do in making the job a little bit better as like an entry level job. I think right now it gets good after a while, but it's kind of a lot of drudgery at the beginning. And so that's like something I would just, you know, expect that it might not be great the first place you go. Yeah. Within financial services, and this is probably another good thing to mention, just within financial services, there are a lot of different types of companies out there and a lot of different ways that companies make money. And there are a lot of companies that say that they're doing financial advising, but they're really just selling life insurance. And if that's what you want to do, that's also fine. But I think just knowing what you're getting into and not thinking you're going to be helping people with their cash flow and their investments and then realizing all you're doing is selling people a life insurance policy and then you're never talking to them again. So I think knowing the types of ways that fees are charged at these different companies, and there are companies that are held to a fiduciary standard, like I mentioned at the beginning, acting in the best interest of the client. And so if you want to be at a place that does that, then asking in that interview process if that's the type of firm that they have and finding out along the way kind of what places fit you best. And if you want to be selling products and if you're a good salesperson, then maybe that really works for you. But if you just want to be giving financial advice and not selling products, then be aware that, you know, only some firms function that way.
Thank you, Brennan and Jen, for joining us today on part one of this finance series. Stay tuned for part two, where Jen and Brennan return to chat all things personal finance. Any and all majors looking to learn more about navigating their own finances will find this episode useful.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give us a like, follow, and share it with your friends. Once again, I'm Riley.
And I'm Athena.
And this has been
Hey You!